We welcome you tonight to Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church, wherever you're listening into this service this evening. We trust that the Lord will bless you as you meet together with us around the Word of God. Let us pray. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we come into thy presence tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee and praise thee, O God, for this opportunity we have of coming into thy presence. And Lord, of meeting around thy word this evening. We pray that thou wilt speak to every heart from thy word tonight. We pray that thou wilt bless every individual, every couple, every family that's met around a screen tonight. Whatever device they're listening in on, we pray that thou wilt bless the word of God to hearts tonight. And O God, make it a word of salvation to those that are yet in sin. A word of comfort and strengthening to the saints of God. And a word of restoration to any who are backslidden. We pray thy blessing upon us now. In Jesus' name we pray, for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're turning to the hymn 204 in our hymn book. These hymns have been sung on previous occasions, at previous services in our church. Let us sing of his love once again, of the love that can never decay, of the blood of the Lamb who was slain, till we praise him again. In that day, I believe Jesus saves, and his blood makes me whiter than snow. I am sure we shall win, for we fight in the strength of our King. I trust you'll join in as this hymn is played this evening.
Yeah.
presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this, the evening of thine own day, this day that is set aside for the honor and the worship of thy name. And we pray for thy presence amongst us tonight as we gather around thy word, as we hear the songs of Zion, as we hear thy word read and proclaimed. We pray, O God, that thou wilt, by thy Holy Spirit, apply the message of thy truth to every waiting heart. We pray, O God, that there will be that response in every heart to thy word tonight. We pray that there will be that reception in every life of thy truth. And we pray, O God, that tonight, through the preaching of thy word, thou wouldst call people, men and women and young people, unto thyself. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art the answer to every need. And we praise thee, Lord, that thou canst meet individuals tonight at the point of their need. We pray that thou wilt do that in every home and in every heart, even tonight. Lord, that thou wilt speak with clarity and with plainness, that thou wilt do a work of grace, even this evening hour, for thy praise, for thy honor, and for thy glory. We lift our hearts to thee, O God, at this time. Our trust and our hope, our confidence is in the Lord. We rest in thee and in thy precious word. We pray that thou wilt do us good. Father, as we come to this week, we thank thee for the blessings received over 70 years of the witness of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. We thank thee for all that thou hast done. We thank thee for men of God who have stood in our pulpits across this land and across the world and have proclaimed the evangel, have set forth the truth of the gospel, who have stood upon the foundation of Scripture and upon the gracious work of redemption that our Savior did upon the cross. O God, we thank thee for men who have preached the blood, men who have preached the atoning work of the cross, men who have preached the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, men who have stood in the gap and have been faithful and fervent in the preaching of the gospel. And we thank thee that to this day, men have been continuing to be faithful. Lord, continuing to hold forth the words of life, continuing to set before men and women their need of salvation. And Father, we pray, O God, as we reflect upon the past, and as we live now in this present time, and as we look to future days, O God, we pray for thine enabling grace. We pray for the power of thy Holy Spirit upon the ministry of the Free Church. Hide our ministers, our students, and all who stand on our pulpits tonight and in days to come behind the cross, that none will be seen save Jesus only, and he alone glorified. We thank thee for men who have contended for the faith. We thank thee for those founding fathers who made such immense sacrifices in order to give us the heritage that we have today. Help us, O God, never to treat it lightly, but ever, O God, to commit ourselves afresh to stand for Christ, for the crown rights of King Jesus and the crown jewels of his glorious gospel. We thank thee for this little land of Northern Ireland, that over 100 years, O God, thou hast blessed this little country with men who have preached the gospel of Christ, men who have stood faithful and true to the word of God. We thank thee, O God, for multitudes of souls that have been swept into the kingdom of God, many now in glory, who heard the gospel in this little land. We thank thee for those who went forward from this land to take the gospel to regions beyond. And O God, we pray that thou wilt bless that seed that has been sown across the world, that it may yet yield an abundant harvest. Do bless the Free Church in these days. Keep us true. Cover us in the precious blood. Bless our college. Keep it pure. And grant, Lord, that young men will be raised for the future days to stand true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our own church family here in Ballygan. Meet the needs of every individual. Those that have lost loved ones, comfort them. Especially remember our sister Olivia,
and the loss of her dear brother. Comfort Olivia tonight and her sister-in-law and the family circle. May they know thy presence and thy grace in this time of grief. We pray for others, O God, who are going through procedures, waiting for treatments. O God, waiting for appointments. We pray that thou wilt be with them and that thou wilt bless them. Thank you for others who are recovering from surgery and other matters of health that has been challenging them in these times. We pray that thou wilt be with them. Bless all who are laid aside at this time. They may know thy presence and thy touch. Remember especially our brother Stephen Brown, who have been asked to pray for. We pray for Stephen tonight, that thou wouldst touch him, that thou wouldst heal him, that thou wouldst restore him, if it is thy will. Give skill to doctors and to all who consider his case, both now and in coming days. Remember his wife. Remember his sons and his daughter and all the family circle. May they know a sense of thy presence even tonight and in days to come. Bless our little land. Let us know the many challenges there are, the challenges of apostasy, turning away from the truth of the Word of God, the challenges of secularism, which is rampant in our society, the challenges of immorality and the immoral lifestyles of many, and promotion of this lifestyle in our day and generation. O God, we pray that thou wouldst intervene, that thou wouldst rise up for our help, and that thou wouldst save our land for the preaching of thy word, for the glory of thy name. Bless, O God, the health situation too. Remember, O God, our health service, our doctors, our nurses, our care workers, those in care homes, those in care in the community. And Lord, remember putting out of the vaccines in these times. We thank you for all that has been accomplished already. We pray that in coming days and weeks and months, much more will be accomplished. We look to thee for the protection of our people. We thank thee for how you've helped our church thus far. Continue to help it in days to come. Meet every need. Help us, O God, with zeal to go forward for the cause of Christ. And for the glory of thy great name, we pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're reading the Word of God tonight in the book of Romans, chapter 1. The book of Romans, chapter 1. And we're reading together from the verse number 1. Romans, chapter 1 and verse 1. Let us hear the Word of God tonight. We trust that in your homes you will turn up the scripture, you'll follow the reading of God's holy and precious word tonight. Romans 1 verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Ending our reading there at verse 17, we know that God will bless to us the reading of His precious, inerrant, inspired, and infallible Word. We do extend to you a welcome again tonight to our online evening service, and we trust the Lord will bless our coming together in His name. Could I mention the Wednesday evening? It's normally our Bible study and prayer meeting at 8 p.m., and this week we'll be reflecting on and giving thanks on the very day that the Free Presbyterian Church was formed 70 years ago. That will be on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. We trust you will join us, and then for prayer afterwards. And then next Lord's Day, our morning worship at 11:30 and our gospel service at 7 p.m. And trust that you will be able to join us for those services. We're hopeful that Sunday school and Bible class will commence soon by Zoom. And it's important that we get this going again. And we do trust that parents will link in with this when it comes up and running, and encourage your children and young people to join in for our Zoom Sunday school and Bible class. Do pray for all affected by this virus and other illnesses at this time. Pray for those going through treatments or waiting for treatments, procedures and days to come. And pray for divine intervention in these days too. We appreciate all the offerings that you bring in for the Lord's work, and we do lay aside at this time our offerings, our tithes and our offerings for the work of God in the house of the Lord. We're joining the singing of another hymn, 439, in your hymn book, and again a hymn that has been sung the previous service. I have a shepherd, one I love so well, how he has blessed me. Tongue can never tell, on the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. It's in 439 on page 353 in our hymn book. I trust you'll join in with the singing of this hymn as it's played to you. Thank you.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Let us seek the Lord's blessing upon his word as it is proclaimed tonight. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the gospel we have preached these 70 years. The gospel we have preached these 70 years. We have today entered the week that marks the 70th anniversary of the formation of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. Not far from here in Crossgar, in the County Down, on the 17th of March, 1951, St. Patrick's Day, the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster was born. And since that day, through ill report and good report, we have continued to preach the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was the preaching of the gospel that lay at the heart of the formation of this denomination. Reverend Ian Paisley from Ravenhill Evangelical Mission Church was invited to preach at a special gospel mission in Crossgar. Lissara Presbyterian Church Hall was sought to hold the mission, as it was felt the mission hall in Killinay Street would be far too small to hold the congregation that would gather. And although the church facility was originally granted to those organizing the mission, the Presbytery of Down overturned the original decision and suspended some of the elders involved in making that decision. The mission went ahead in the mission hall, and many souls were saved. And as a consequence, the Free Presbyterian Church was born on the 17th of March, 1951. It was a time of liberalism in Irish Presbyterianism and the other mainline denominations. The Presbyterian Church had at the time many in its pulpits who denied the fundamental truths of the gospel. And so those in Crossgar, and in the years that followed, there were many who separated from the apostasy that was rampant in Irish Presbyterianism and the other major denominations. They took their stand with courage and with conviction, a stand outside the camp to hold to the pure gospel and to the plain and clear preaching of the gospel of Christ. And for 70 years, from 1951 to 2021, this is what the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster has been seeking to do. Like Luther, at the Diet of Worms in 1521, 500 years ago, we say, here I stand. There has been no compromise on the preaching of the gospel, no dilution of the message, no digression from the truth of God's precious word. This is the gospel, my friend, which the Free Presbyterian Church denomination has preached these 70 years. And may God, even this night and in days to come, give us help and grace to continue to preach the glorious gospel of our blessed God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ,
For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I want you to notice some things about this gospel that we preach and that the Free Presbyterian denomination has been preaching for 70 years. First of all, the source of this gospel. According to our text tonight in Romans 1 and verse 16, it is the gospel of Christ. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Any message that was handed down from Caesar would immediately have got the attention of the Romans. But the message of the gospel is from and about the very Son of God. In his opening sentence in this epistle to the Romans, Paul the Apostle called this message the gospel of God. The gospel of God. Romans 1 verse 1. How could Paul be ashamed of such a message when it came from God and it centered in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? And Paul's absolute confidence in the gospel was based on its supremacy. He knew that this gospel was far superior to any religion or philosophy ever known upon earth. Oh, he was conscious of the supremacy and the superiority of this gospel. He was conscious, too, of the sufficiency of this gospel. The world of Paul's day was dominated by three lines of thought, the Greek and the Roman and the Hebrew. But Greek logic and Roman law and Hebrew light all paled into utter insignificance before the gospel. In the face of all three, Paul could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This was not the boast of an ignorant provincial. Paul was no illiterate, but rather a cosmopolitan man with a world vision, a liberal education, a tremendous width of interest, and great intellectual power. It was the testimony of a man who was well-versed in the ways of the world and outstandingly successful in the proclamation of the message of the cross. Paul knew the supremacy of the gospel, the superiority of the gospel. He knew the sufficiency of the gospel. It is the gospel of Christ. Its source is divine. In God Himself. A young lad during his years in high school was chosen to be an office monitor. The other hall monitors sat at various stations through the school building, but he was privileged to sit right outside the door of the main school office. He was entrusted with important messages that he had to deliver to different teachers in the classes throughout the building and to staff members. On occasion, he would have to deliver messages to other schools. It was fun for him to walk into a classroom and interrupt a lesson. But no teacher ever scolded him for doing this, because all of them knew that he carried messages from the principal, from the principal's office. He never had to be afraid or ashamed, because he knew where his messages came from. And tonight, we are not ashamed of the gospel because we know its source is in God Himself. And for 70 years, faithful men, though despised by the world and even despised by the religious world, have proclaimed this gospel right across this land and beyond these shores. And we reiterate tonight with the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the source of this gospel. But I want you to see, secondly, the strength of this gospel. You'll notice again in our text the words, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. Why be ashamed of power? Power was the one thing that Rome boasted of the most. Greece might have its philosophy, but Rome had its power. And the fear of Rome hovered over the empire like a cloud. Were they not the conquerors? Were not the Roman legions stationed all over the known world at that particular time? But with all of their military powers and prowess, Rome was still a weak nation. The philosopher Seneca called the city of Rome a cesspool of iniquity, and another writer called it a filthy sewer into which the dregs of the empire flood. No wonder Paul was not ashamed. He was taking to sinful Rome the one message that had power to change people's lives. He had seen the gospel work in other cities, such as Corinth and Ephesus. And he was confident that it would work in Rome. It had transformed his own life. You remember in the Damascus Road how this man who was in hot pursuit of those who preached the gospel to imprison them and put them to death, and yet on the Damascus Road God met him and saved him and transformed his life. And he knew it could transform the lives of others. It was this life-transforming message that had been preached by faithful men through the 70 years of the history of our denomination. And how many lives have been transformed by it? Drunkards have been made sober. Criminals have been delivered from their life of crime. The immoral have been made pure. Those held in the grip of Satan's power have been set free. Those religious people, depending on their religion, delivered from their religion and brought to saving faith in Christ. What a gospel. What a gospel. Districts have been shaken. Towns, communities have been moved upon by the Spirit of God. Families have been changed. Homes have been rearranged. The power of the gospel preached from our pulpits in gospel missions and Lord's Day by Lord's Day, and missions held in tents and barns and halls, open-air services throughout this country, have had an impact for God and for good. We think of the strength of this gospel. It's the power of God. It's dynamic, this gospel. My friend, tonight, the world doesn't need a better system of education or more social reform or new ideas in religion. This world has so much religion that it's made them so miserable. And so many religions. It needs the gospel. It needs the gospel of Christ. Ulster needs the gospel more than ever it has needed it before. And our cities and our towns and our villages and our country districts need the gospel. It is the gospel message that grips the mind, my friends. It is the gospel message that stabs the conscience. It is the gospel message that warms the heart and saves the soul and sanctifies the life. It is a message sufficient to transform the lives of any who believe. And go through our congregations tonight, throughout the 61 congregations of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, and you will meet men and women and young people whose lives have been impacted by the power of the gospel. The gospel preached through these 70 years, through the witness and labors of the Free Presbyterian Church. It is this gospel, my friend, so powerful, so transforming, so life-changing, that we must continue to preach. Let us not preach any other gospel. And I put it to you that you can go into any free Presbyterian church across this land and further afield, and you will not be in any doubt about what the message from the pulpit is. Some other places you may come out and say, did that man preach the gospel? Was that really the gospel? He may have mentioned the gospel once or twice in a sort of vague sort of way. But friend, in the Free Presbyterian Church, the gospel is preached. No one can deny that. And let us not ever deviate to a contemporary gospel or a watered-down form of the gospel, a milk-and-water gospel, a half-baked gospel of the modernists or of those in contemporary Christianity. Let us stick, my friends, to the biblical gospel. That gospel with power that results in true conversion of men and women from every background. Paul said this in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 9. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. We're not to preach any other gospel. Oh, people say to me today, Mr. Smiley, in our church we have a modern gospel. Friend, it's another gospel. In our church we have a contemporary gospel. I put it to you, my friend, it is another gospel. In the Free Presbyterian Church, we have the gospel of God. The gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. And that word, salvation, carries tremendous meaning. Its basic meaning is deliverance. It was applied to personal and national deliverance. The emperor was looked upon as a savior, as was the physician who healed people of their illnesses. The gospel, my friend, delivers sinners from the penalty and power of sin. This salvation is a major theme in this letter of Paul to the Romans. And salvation is the great need of the human race. Look at Romans chapter 10 for a moment. Verse 1, Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That was Paul's great desire for Israel, that they might be saved. Oh, they don't like that word saved today, sure they don't. The modernists don't like that word. The contemporary gospelers don't like that word. They talk about commitment. They use other terms that are not biblical terms. But the Bible says, saved. Paul says here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Look on down the chapter to verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There you have it again, saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation. And if men and women and young people are to be saved or to go to heaven, it must be through faith in Jesus Christ as proclaimed in the gospel. Are you saved tonight? Oh, you say, I go to church, even go to a Free Presbyterian church, even go to Ballygan Free Presbyterian Church. Are you saved tonight? It's a question. Oh, I professed as a child in the Sunday school. But are you saved? Have you experienced God's salvation? If not, oh, that you might come tonight and be saved. And so the source of this salvation, the strength of this salvation. But I want you to see, thirdly, the simplicity of the gospel to everyone that believeth. That's what our text declares in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. A And what a simple message the gospel is. And there are many who stumble over the simplicity of the gospel. They're looking for something complicated. They're thinking, surely there's something more that I must do than just believe. Surely there's something more to this matter of salvation. Surely there's something more to this matter of the gospel. Could anything be simpler than just believing? The gospel call is to a simple trust in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as personal Savior from sin. John 3, verse 16, the most famous of all biblical texts. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Listen, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe to the saving of your soul tonight. It's as simple as that. Will you believe in Christ now? You remember Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That was the simple message delivered by Paul and Silas in the Philippine to the Philippian jailer, who inquired of them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And that's exactly what he did. And both he and his household were saved, according to Acts 16, verse 34. He believed in God with all his house. Here's something so simple, and yet so life-changing. You see, God does not ask men and women or young people to behave in order to be saved, but to believe. It is faith in Christ that saves the sinner. Eternal life in Christ is one gift that is suitable for all people, no matter what their need may be or what their station in life may be. Believe, my friend, that you might be saved. The Lord is asking you to do a simple thing tonight. Will you not do it? May God help you to believe in Christ. And folks, that is the very simple thing that through the ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster for 70 years in our gospel ministry, we've been asking people to do. And many of those folks believed, and many of them today have been promoted to glory. Many are still amongst us. And if you're yet amongst us and yet having heard the gospel down these decades of time and hearing it again tonight, will you do the simple thing that for years you've failed to do? Will you believe tonight and be saved? Older person, middle-aged person, young person, boy or girl tonight, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You know, it's so simple that the youngest child can understand. The most educated person can understand. You can understand. The story is told of Anthony Harrod. He was an old pensioner. He was a slave to drink. He was persuaded to attend a gospel meeting where he was convicted of sin. And John Lawson, an earnest evangelist, hearing of Anthony's condition, visited him and tried to lead him to Christ. Taking his Bible from his pocket, John Lawson slowly read the words of John 3, 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. And he stopped and looking Anthony in the face said, and that means you. And then he went on with the verse, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And again he said, and that means you. Anthony was amazed. A hard-drinking, swearing sinner. How could God love me? In fact, he believed it impossible that a holy God could love a wretch like him. Bringing his big fist down on the table, he exclaimed, I don't believe it. But Lawson was a man of good judgment. And instead of blaming Anthony for discrediting the words of Scripture, he inquired how long Anthony had been in the army. Anthony replied, 21 years and 14 days. Lawson struck the chair with his fist and said, "I don't believe it." "Do you think I would tell you a lie?" said Anthony. "It was 21 years and 14 days." "I don't believe it," said Lawson quietly. "Bring me the parchment," said Anthony to his wife. And the document being produced, Lawson inquired, "How can you expect me to believe you when you refuse to believe the Word of God?" And once more, John Lawson read to Anthony Harrod the life-giving words of John 3:16, and added at the end of the verse, "And that means you." And the scales were removed from the old man's eyes, and the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ streamed into his soul, and he exclaimed, "I see it all. I believe it. Thank God." And he was saved in that moment. Will you believe tonight, my friend, and be saved? The Bible says, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." The simplicity of the gospel. I remember many years ago, terrible drunkard, living off the Shankill Road in the most dreadful conditions. I knew a sister, and she said to me, "Mr. Smiley," naming her brother, "I cannot find him. I think he's in an old house somewhere." And she named the street. It was all houses that were blocked up during the time when they were renovating and building new houses around that area. She named the street. I went up the street, I went down the street. Couldn't find. All the houses were blocked up. I couldn't find them anywhere. And then I saw this gap in one of the houses. I went to go in, and the man said, "Oh, don't go in there. Don't go in there." I had a torch with me. I went in. The man stood outside, I think fearing something would happen to me. And I went inside, and there he was, lying two planks of wood, a bottle of drink, I said. And I named him by his name. I said, "I've come to speak to you about the gospel." "Oh," he said, "I cannot be saved. I'm lost. I'll never be saved." But that night, with a torchlight, I showed him the words of John 3:16. And that night he was saved. Very shortly afterwards, he was removed to hospital and died. But my friend, that night he believed to the saving of his soul. Will you believe tonight? Will you trust Christ tonight as your Savior? And ere you close your eyes in sleep, you'll close with Christ and trust him as your Savior. The simplicity of the gospel. But I want to finish with this. The scope of the gospel. The Bible says in our text, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." This was not an exclusive message for either Jew or Gentile. It was for all men, because all men need to be saved. The Great Commission is this: to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. Our text declares here, to the Jew first. That does not suggest that the Jew is better than the Gentile, for there is no difference as far as condemnation is concerned, and no difference in salvation either. Bible tells us in Romans chapter 2, verses 6 to 11 concerning that matter. It talks about, in verse 11, there is no respect of persons with God. No respect of persons with God. And again, the 10th chapter of Romans, where we've been there just a little while ago. And from verse 9 to verse 13, we read, and in verse 12, particularly, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that whosoever doesn't exclude you tonight, it includes you tonight, whoever you are, whatever your situation of life may be, whatever your class or color or creed. It includes you tonight. The gospel came to the Jew first in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 10, verses 5 to 7, it came through the apostles too in Acts 3, 26. And how marvelous it is to have a message that has power to reach all people, not only the Jews, but the Gentiles. And we're so thankful that the gospel message came to us. And we heard and believed. And multitudes of men and women and young people across this world have had the privilege of hearing this message and have heard to the salvation of their souls. And through 70 years, this little denomination has spread to every corner of Northern Ireland the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel. Into the south of Ireland, across the British mainland too, to the uttermost parts of the world. Men and women, missionaries of the cross have gone forth to take the gospel to people of every color and class and creed, that they might believe on the Son of God and have everlasting life. May the Lord enable us as we reflect upon these past 70 years of preaching the glorious gospel of Christ, to be encouraged to continue to hold forth the words of life. In the days and weeks and months and years that lie ahead, that another generation will be raised up after I have gone to preach the glad tidings of redeeming grace. That we will be able to continually say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We're not ashamed of this gospel tonight. No matter what the world says, no matter what the religious establishments say, no matter what the four main churches say, my friend, we're not ashamed of this gospel. We will not be compromising on this. We will not be removed from it. We will continue to preach the old, old story of redeeming grace. And this is the gospel, my friend, can save your soul tonight if you will trust in Christ. Will you do it now? Will you bow the knee just where you are? Bow your head. And simply ask the Lord Jesus Christ to take your sin away, to wash you in the precious blood, to make you a new creature in Christ. Will you do that tonight? Will you believe? Know the power of God, the power of salvation in your heart and life. Oh, may it be so. For 70 years, this is the gospel we have preached. And I trust if the Lord tarries, there will be those who for another 70 years will preach the same message across this land and across this world to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let my name perish tonight. Let the name of a denomination perish. But let the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be uplifted and praised and glorified.
May God bless his word to your heart. And if you're not saved, do please get in touch with us. Call us or text us. By some means, contact us. And tonight, from God's precious word, we can show you the way of God's salvation. May you come to Christ tonight. We're going to conclude our service in prayer this evening. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee for this glorious gospel that has been preached over these 70 years by the Free Presbyterian Church and others too who have stood for God in this land. We pray that our God and Father, you'll help us in days to come to hold forth this message that men and women and boys and girls will be brought to saving faith in Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. And may God bless you.